The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. So Wyatt Tomchek in the house for Kelly Bidlin. And ladies and gentlemen, if you missed the show yesterday and you were expecting a Kelly Bidlin eggnog challenge today, I do apologize, but Kelly's got the vid. The COVID. Yes, sir.
I was thinking, and this would have been a great idea, we should have just Skyped Kelly and have him drink during the show.
Sounds like a sensational idea.
Kelly Bidlin at his house.
There you go. Here's how you treat COVID, an eggnog challenge. I had a bit of a challenge myself this morning. Your boy, that's me, caught for speeding on the freeways of Nevada this morning. And afterwards, by the way, I was speeding, just in case you were wondering. I speed every morning, just this just in. But they got me today. And I took the opportunity at the officer when he was giving me the citation. As he was giving it to me and ready to send me off, I said to him, I go, hey, while I have you, can I ask you one question? He's like, sure. He's like thinking, who? And he's already, you know, arrogant. He's chesty about it. I go, could you do something about the stuff flying out of trucks on the freeway as well? He goes, oh, people like you are more of a menace than they are. Trust me, I'm on the roads more than you. I'm like, okay, thank you, officer. I appreciate it. I got my little shot in, so hopefully that will take care of that trucks problem here in the state of Nevada. My love affair with the state continues, Wyatt.
Yeah, you know.
The streets are safe now.
Hey, just wait till it rains later today.
Is it raining? Oh, wow.
It was pretty cloudy today.
All right, we got a show. Dr. Bob is going to show up today. He will be here to talk college football with us, the national semis, the playoffs tomorrow, anything that he might have to dare tomorrow. I'm not sure if he does or not. NFL, we'll get into his brain, figure out what he has in store this weekend for us. Paul Carr with the return of the Premier League earlier this week. Paul Carr's got picks for us. Chrissy Andrews with a moment with Chrissy Andrews. He'd like to say something here for our locals about what's going on at the South Point here at the South Point Sportsbook today. Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports will run it back, move some lines, see if we could get a winner with Michael Craig at Right Angle Sports today. Matt Brown will join us for the final countdown, which he does every day here at VSiN with Stormy Bonatoni. He's got his bevy of NFL picks. And Jeff Parlay, who does a little show here after hours in studio. So he's just going to come 10 minutes early and just hang out with us for 10 minutes. What is it, an Ohio show he does here after the show?
It's Bet on Ohio, I believe.
Bet on Ohio.
Yeah.
Is that the name of the show, or are you just making that up?
It's Bet on Something in Ohio. I get confused every time with it.
Bet on Something in Ohio.
You know.
And we'll suggest that as a new title for the show. Bet on Something in Ohio. Okay, last night, I got my NFL picks here coming up for the weekend that I'll run through momentarily. But last night, Cowboys 27, Titans 13. Again, a game that meant nothing in terms of the playoff picture to the Tennessee Titans. They are in the same position now after having lost this football game that they were prior to the football game. And that is to say that only next week's game against Jacksonville matters to them. They win, they are the AFC South champs. Same applies for Jacksonville. Jacksonville's game against the Texans this weekend doesn't mean anything as far as playoff implications are concerned. But I will say this about the Titans and specifically Josh Dobbs, and we were right yesterday here on the show because I said I gotta have a hunch that it's going to be Dobbs and not Malik Willis. It was Josh Dobbs. And, well, he played pretty well. 20 of 39 for 232, a touchdown. Yes, he did have a pick. Yes, he did have a fumble loss. But all things considered, I think the Titans have their quarterback for next week against the Jaguars in Ryan Tannehill's absence. And that really is the takeaway from that game from a Titans perspective. They'll get Derrick Henry back, who again yesterday were like doubtful means out in that particular case. Again, with the Titans have nothing to play for. And imagine that this is the point that we are with some teams in the National Football League, that quarterback talent is so scarce, generally speaking. There's only 32 of these jobs. We already know you can't fill all 32 with competent quarterback play. But now you literally have a guy who was on a practice squad for another team 8 days prior to this game last night, and he is without question, it would appear, going to be your starting quarterback in the game for your playoff life, whether to get into the postseason or not next week. Because I think if you're a Titans backer or a Titans fan in any way, you want Dobbs and not Malik Willis. Malik Willis, who has not gotten to 100 yards passing in any of his first three starts, for the Titans, which is epic, by the way. The last person to not get to 100 yards passing in their first three career starts was Nathan Peterman before that. The great Nathan Peterman, I believe we refer to him. So that's the upshot for the Titans. I just want to send a shout-out to Mike Vrabel, though, because just as bad as that Arkansas bad beat was the night before, the Tennessee Titans minus 7 or whatever you got them at first half bet last night was a killer. Thankfully, though, Mike Vrabel made it so that we could hit the team total under of 14 because he decided to go for an extra point, which was curious at one point in the game, instead of going for two to keep it at 13. And then towards the end of the game with all of his timeouts, it was apparent that he just wanted to get out of Dodge. And so we were able to hit that. But that, by the way, that end of that first half, my goodness, Dak Prescott, I mean, the Cowboys are up, you know, 10 to nothing in that game. And it's 10 to 3 on a Randy Bullock field goal that that came after a Dak Prescott pick with 3:38 left. Dallas was matriculating with the ball. Dak throws a pick. That was not necessarily his fault. That went off Peyton Hendershot's hands into Keith Byard's. And so Tennessee got a field goal to make it 10-3. So you're like, okay, well, we'll get the push. Oh, wait, but Dallas still has a chance with the ball. Could still get this first half bet to cash. Dak, with mere seconds left in the half, less than 30, we're talking 21 seconds left, he throws a terrible pick to Kevin Byard again. Byard with a great return, then one big play just under the gun from Dobbs to Treylon Burks, and it's a chip shot Randy Bullock field goal. And boy, was that a bad beat for the first half, but oh well. That's how it goes. Well, at least we hit the team total. From a Dallas perspective, by the way, the only thing I'll say is this. They are who we think they are. They're just not all that inspiring. Yes, they're going to go to the playoffs. Yes, at this point, at least until Sunday, they have a shot to not only win the NFC East, but a shot, again, to win, you know, to get the number one seed. Not likely in either case. Philly's magic number is just one. All they have to do is win a ball game. But just saying, for a 12-4 football team, do you believe they have any shot at actually contending for a Super Bowl? It just feels like it's an Eagles-Niners collision course for the NFC Championship. As far as my picks this week, and by the way, shout out to Al Michaels, who was very open last night with the 40.5 and the 13.5, just saying it out loud towards the end of that football game. At first, I thought the 13.5 was the Titans team total that he was talking about. But then I was like, oh, no, he just beats the spread on that. So shout out to him. But as far as my picks this weekend, and again, if you want all of our picks, mine, Jeff Parlay's, Todd Wishnaff's, our rotating guest yesterday was Joe Fortenbaugh's, the Beating the Book Megapod, available on the Beating the Book feed each and every week. We record it, pardon me, on Thursdays. Emotional again about my picks here. So here's what I have landed on. My record on the pod this year, 28-20. Good enough to lead Todd Wishnaff by a game in the bragging rights bowl. By the way, in terms of the circa millions, 55%, 54%. Good in real life. Nothing as far as a contest is concerned. But I took the Panthers as one of my plays. I have the Panthers +3. By the way, these are all in the account as well. I bet what I say I'm picking. And for me, I get those that, you know, this week again, you have a lot of Tampa love from people, and the rallying cry of those who are on Tampa this week is, well, this is a big adjustment now. Finally, a big adjustment, and the Buccaneers are now only 3-point favorites at home. Listen, if I lose this, tip of the cap, I've probably faded the Buccaneers 9 or 10 times this year and have won pretty much every one of them except for, I think, one. So if you're right about this one, tip of the cap, mazel tov. Doesn't mean that the Buccaneers haven't been highly overrated all season or overvalued. And so my perspective on the adjustment, as they're saying, is, yes, it is an adjustment. My perspective is it's gone from a ridiculously bad line situation on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to just bad lines on the Buccaneers. I'll take the Panthers. Panthers housed them the first time, and that was with P.J. Walker at quarterback. I don't think that Sam Darnold's necessarily a massive upgrade, if upgrade at all. But I'll take the points. I think the Panthers just a better football team, bottom line, top to bottom. Give me the points. I will roll with the Panthers, who, if you gave other teams in the NFC truth serum, again, the only caveat they have to this is, oh, but it's Tom Brady. If you gave them truth serum, they'd much rather play the Buccaneers than the Panthers. It's this muscle memory of Tom Brady being Tom Brady, and you could say, oh, yeah, well, Tom Brady had those great comebacks in a couple games already this year. Yeah, I'll let you back that. I'm taking the Panthers +3 in that one. I'm going to take the Jags. I know they have nothing to play for, just said that moments ago. I am going to lay the points against the Texans. We saw what a Titans team with a quarterback who's 8 days old so to speak, did against the Cowboys yesterday. I think the Jaguars want to keep it rolling, and I do agree with Mike Pritchard on that. I think the Jaguars, yeah, they'll probably take out players at a certain time, and might a back door be open? Yeah. But the Texans are also incentivized to lose, and I'm not talking about the players on the field, but I think the Texans coaching staff and front office will make it such that the players on the field will not be maximized for victory, if you know what I mean, nor to cover. I'll take the Jaguars, and I'll lay the points. The big game, Cincinnati-Buffalo on Monday night. I played the money line right after guessing lines. I played the money line on the Bengals in that one. I think the wrong team is favored there. I will roll with the Bengals in a standalone primetime situation on Monday night. And then the fourth play that I made in terms of sides, I took the Vikings plus the points. It was 3.5 time of the podcast yesterday. I don't understand it. Right now it's plus three, plus 105. I play that too. I just think the desirous nature of the media and everybody just screaming about Aaron Rodgers. Who have they beaten? The Dolphins? But the Dolphins game was because Tua just threw the ball all over the yard. Is Cousins capable of that? Sure. And I get it. The Vikings are frauds in terms of their record, 12-3 with a +5 point differential, 11-0 in one score games. But there's no world in which the Packers should be a 3-point favorite over them. I'll take the Vikings there. Teaser of the week, 6-point teaser, two teamer, because we do that on the Megapod as well. I opted for the Dolphins and the Vikings. And the game I want no part of, ladies and gentlemen, also a question we ask on the pod, Atlanta and Arizona. Oh, and there's one more question we ask. Which of the big favorites do you think is the most likely to lose outright? I think the Detroit Lions might be that team. Vulnerable, I believe, against the Bears. Dr. Bob on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander. Wyatt, you know what we should do later on the show as well? Just came to me this moment. Just this moment. No, I'm kidding. We should do the New Year's Eve resolutions. Not only mine, but how about yours and how about Kelly Bidlin's?
I like it.
As well.
You know, this is why you're the smart man.
Genius idea. We actually, just full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, we actually discussed this as a possibility for Kelly to actually be here with us. But Kelly said, oh, hell no. I sound awful, he said. But we'll do his by proxy. We'll let us know what our New Year's betting resolutions are for the year 2023.
I'm excited for it.
We went back and I looked at my 2022 because we did this on Primetime Action. I adhered to him pretty much. You know which one I didn't do? I was like, I'm gonna bet more golf. I'm gonna apply my tennis principles to golf. That I didn't end up doing as much. Other than that,
can I ask you a quick question?
Please.
Yeah. How would you say from last year to this year that you've become a better better?
How have I become a better better?
What have you improved on that you looked at and said, you know what?
Great question. I think by adhering to those resolutions, which we'll find out coming up, but I'll just state one of them in advance, which is just. You know, 5 years ago, if you had asked me, or 10 years ago, but even 5 years ago, if you had asked me, okay, what's your favorite sport to bet? And I would have said baseball, and everything else is a distant second. And I think as a bettor, you have to evolve, and you have to recognize where your edges are. You have to be able to recognize what times of year in certain sports. Certain sports are different. The way I handicap from sport to sport is different. Some are completely data-driven. Some are, like, let's take baseball. I've ratcheted that back to almost nothing but pick spots. So I think how I've become a better bettor is by becoming certainly more disciplined and discerning in what I bet in certain ways versus other sports that I bet completely differently and much more judiciously as opposed to week after week, if that makes sense. And I think you always have to kind of evolve as a bettor in that respect. We could ask the same of Dr. Bob, who's our guest. Dr. Bob, who's been doing this longer than Father Time. No, he doesn't want me to say that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the great Dr. Bob Stoll at Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com. Pioneer in the business. How you doing, Bobby?
Doing all right. Sorry I missed you yesterday. I forgot that I was on the show.
Are you distracted because your wife's family's in town? Is that what's happening?
It's the wife's family's in town. Kids are home from school. There are football games every day. I don't know what day it is most of the time.
It's Friday, I mean, Bob. It's Friday.
It is Friday now. That's why. Yes, that's right. As I said last week, it's Friday. That's why I'm on with you.
By the way, same question from Wyatt to you. How have you, I don't know, I'd be very interested in your answer specifically to this, because you do what you do. And I'm curious if someone like you thinks that you're doing, that you're always evolving as well and getting better. What is it that makes you better from year to year, in your opinion?
I track everything that goes into my handicapping process. And this is something I've done 4 years. And I recommend this to people. Have a spreadsheet or something. You have columns. It's like, you know, if you like, I like this game because there's line value, or I like this game because of this injury, or I like this game because of the situation. It's a sandwich game, or it's a look ahead, or whatever it is you think of. If you have reasons, or you can categorize them, then have a spreadsheet and say, all right, I bet this game, and I bet it because of these reasons, a one or a zero in every category that you have, line value, situation, matchup, whatever it is. Over time, you will start to realize which of those things that you consider works and which of those things you should stop considering. And as I do this year in and year out, I keep track of everything, have for years, and I just refine that, and I kind of change my rules or my guidelines of what makes a good bet as some things become more important or more significant, some of the things. And I add things that I look at, too, and test those. So I just think as time goes on, I just sort of keep, you know, refining how to weigh different factors that I look at. But really not a lot at this stage in my career. Not a lot has completely changed from year to year. Like last year, for instance, in college football, you know, two or three games over 500 was not a great year. I just stay the course. I mean, I do what I do, and it has worked for a long time. And this year I'm 40-20 in college football best bets. So, you know, doing the exact same thing I did last year. So it's not like I became a better handicapper overnight. Just last year I had some bad luck, and this year, you know, like I had Kansas the other day, you know, getting 4 points. And
don't remind
They rallied from way down, you know. I mean, had they not turned it over a few times in the first half, I think the game would have been close the whole way. But nonetheless, I'm getting those kind of fortunate wins that I maybe wouldn't have got last year, you know. So.
Well, that is, I don't usually rate guests' answers to questions afterwards, but that was a beautiful answer to that question. And I would hazard a guess that the percentage of bettors who actually keep a spreadsheet on their log of bets is less than 5%, I would say. And so I think less than 5%, way less than, call it even a percentage lower than that. The point remains, not many, and that would be a great way for people to sort of improve over time. Let me ask you, since you brought up college football, and I had Arkansas, Bob, so I don't want to ever hear about a bad beat story from you for about a year. But let me just ask you this. What are your thoughts on the national semifinal games tomorrow night? Even if there is no bet, what are your thoughts on the two of them?
Yeah, no bet. I have Michigan by around 7.5. I think that line is right. I do think there is some value on Ohio State. I think the line should be more like 4.5, not 6.5. But I don't think there's not enough of an edge necessarily for me to be betting that game. But I'll certainly be leaning toward Ohio State. But, yeah, and just because it's the national semifinal doesn't mean it's a game you should bet. You know, I've had 4 best bets in all these bowl games so far. I'm 3-1, and I've had a couple strong opinions that are 1-1, and I'm 8-5 on leans. I mean, most of the games I just haven't been worth betting so far.
Michigan TCU's number is where it should be as well?
Yeah, 7.5.
Okay.
That's the one I said should be 7.5,
should be
and I'm Michigan by 7.5, and I think that's a solid number, and I just think the Georgia line should be a little lower.
Okay. And nothing today or tomorrow leading up to those two games?
Well, I did play UCLA. I bet UCLA at minus 5.5. Now it is up to 8. So once it's gotten past 7, I don't think it would be a best bet past 7, but I still think there's some value on UCLA, even at minus 8. But
okay.
I would not have bet it if it were minus 8 when I bet it.
This is good for some, too, just because it's there. Again, we've said this a billion times on the show. Just because it's there doesn't mean you have to bet it. Sometimes the best bets are the bets not made, and just because it's standalone and it's a national semi or whatever it is, doesn't mean you have to bet it. Now, that's not fun for some. Yeah. Some people are doing this for entertainment. We get it. But from Dr. Bob's perspective, you don't.
Yeah, and of course, last week, you know, you asked me the same question. Oh, you have anything? I said, oh, yeah, I have a couple best bets coming up today, but the value is been gone. You know, I had those two unders last Friday, Houston, Lafayette, and then Wake Forest, Missouri. I had best bets on both unders. I said, but a lot of the value's gone. The Houston total went down 4.5 points after I bet it, and the Missouri total went down 4 points after I bet it. And those both won super easy. So people are like, yeah, you told us maybe don't bet those anymore, but they both won easy. So UCLA could win easy too. It's just, you bet numbers, not teams, you know. And the -5.5 is a lot better than -8.
All right. Well, you got 2 minutes. Give us an NFL play that you do like right now.
Yeah, I played Philly last week, and that kind of was a tough loss. There was almost no way they're not going to cover the spread when they're down by 3 with the ball late in the game. But they fumbled it, and Dallas kicked a field goal, and that was that. But I like Philly again. I mentioned last week, Minshew is not that much worse than Hurts coming into the season in his career, and that Hurts' improvement this year has a lot to do with the weapons they added, and Minshew has those same weapons. Last week, he averaged 8.9 yards per pass play, and the Eagles did not punt. So there's nothing wrong with Minshew at quarterback, and the market is still taking off 3 or 4 points for him being the quarterback, and I don't think that's the case. I mean, they had 3 turnovers last week, and before that, they were leading the NFL in turnover margin. And last week, they were -3. So it's just a random loss to Dallas, and I still think there's value on Philadelphia here. I think the Eagles should be favored by 9.5 to 10 points, and I like the situation coming back home off a couple road games that generally helps really good teams. Also, Philly's 9-1 as a home favorite under Coach Sirianni, which doesn't hurt. So they tend to play the best at home, and I think it's a good matchup for them, and I think there's some value with Minshew at quarterback.
Okay.
So I'll play Philadelphia again.
I lied. One real quick question here to get you out, and we talked about this on the Megapod a couple weeks ago. What's the team you have rated in the NFL vastly differently from the conventional wisdom, would you say, or from the betting market, either to the good or to the bad?
Yeah, oddly.
10 seconds.
Tampa Bay, I think my model thinks they should be better than they are, and they just are what they are at this point. But Tampa Bay should be better than they have been,
okay,
according to my model. That has not been the case, but they should be.
It's an interesting answer, because even in Bob's voice, even he's like, what they are, finally, in the end. You just sort of have to wave the white flag, baby. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right.
Dr. Bob, everybody. Coming back, Paul Carr, Premier League picks. And thoughts on Pelé next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin. Oh, the camera caught me off guard there. Looking at me while I was reading that. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday Pelé passed away. For those of a certain age, there was nothing like Pelé. Even those of us around my age who have been here for multiple decades really didn't get to see Pelé during his heyday, during the prime of his career. He was the winner of 3 World Cups with Brazil, something that will probably, most soccer pundits believe, will never be matched again. And really, if you went through all the praise that was justifiably placed on him yesterday, not only that praise as for him as a human being, but as a soccer player, the latter of which we'll bring Paul Carr in for here. One of the biggest things, I think, or one of the most deep things that were said about him was, when you think about the greats in other sports, whether it's Jordan in basketball, pick your player in football, if it's Wayne Gretzky in hockey, they didn't necessarily transcend the sport in a way that Pelé did in soccer. In other words, there's so many people on earth that might know Pelé before they even know soccer. At least that's what one pundit said. I want to say it was Taylor Twellman who said that yesterday. We bring in Paul Carr, who joins us right now, of course, from True Media Networks, the Expected Value podcast. I don't know, your memories are probably like mine, Paul, about Pelé, which is the late run with the Cosmos is my most, you know, my only real memory of him, and I know it boosted attendance. But put him in context for us, if you would, passing away at the age of 82.
Yeah, I don't have personal memories from watching him or anything like that, but he's still, like a lot of average American sports fans, like he's the one soccer player that you would have heard of, you know, that isn't a current type of player. And he did transcend the game because part of it was timing. You know, he came around in the 58 World Cup, played through the 70 World Cup on the global scale in that sense. That's right when TV was taking off. You know, the 70 World Cup was the first one fully in color. You get Brazil's yellow jerseys, which, you know, it's a superficial thing, but it's a thing that matters and impacts people. He was the first real big South American star on the soccer front, the first global kind of black star. So there's a universality to him that he is loved almost everywhere. And I think there's something to just his demeanor. You know, you see photo shoots, you know, he's almost always smiling and he's brings the joy, that joy of the game that Brazil is known for. He personifies that. And you have other, you know, global icons, Diego Maradona, Johan Cruyff, who a little more surly, had more off the field issues, whatever it might be. Pelé just had the joy of the game that I think everybody wants it to always be. It's not always that way, like any sport, but he personified that for so many people, and that's what helped him transcend the game.
Yeah, Johan Cruyff, who became a Washington Diplomat soccer player late 70s as well, the early 80s. And just to tie a bow on it, because this just has to do with American pop culture, but have you ever seen that Matthew Modine wrestling movie Vision Quest, which is just sort of this throwaway movie in the 80s, but there's this there's this scene in the middle of it which talks about, and I think Modine is trying to play off that his dad doesn't show up at his wrestling matches, if I'm recalling the scene correctly, and his dad goes into a whole soliloquy about why he comes and why it matters for him to come to the wrestling matches, and it has a lot to do in that scene with Pelé. I'll just leave it at that, but that's just sort of a little pop culture tie into it.
I will throw in one more Pelé pop culture thing from the 80s, a movie called Victory, which is Pelé. The cast is amazing. Sylvester Stallone.
Right.
Michael Caine, a whole bunch of international soccer stars, and they are in a Nazi POW camp, and blah, 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 the soccer game, they basically are playing for their freedom, is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good film, and if you're a soccer fan, it's even better, but I like it a lot. It's one of my favorites.
Well, we're just off a World Cup, and I'm sure we hope that Pelé was able to take that in, you know, and know what was going on with it. We go into the Premier League now, which is what Paul has always been with us for, the staple of what he comes to the show with soccer-wise. And let's just, before we get your picks this weekend, let's just reset things for the Premier League, because this is odd, right? We started the season like other leagues internationally, then we played the World Cup, and now we're back. So let's reset this. Where do we stand now on the table, if you will?
It's weird. The last week or two, as I've just kind of got reacclimated to the club game, I look at the standings and like, oh, yeah, Newcastle is in third place. I kind of forgot about that. And, you know, or whatever it might be. So, yeah, Arsenal's in first place, which is, you know, a surprise because this is a Man City-Liverpool two-horse race before the season. And Arsenal's in first by 5 points as we're a couple games shy of the halfway point of the season, four games shy, to be precise. So that's the question. Is Arsenal for real? Man City's still the betting favorite, but I really think Arsenal's, I think they're legit. I don't think they're, you know, running on a super hot streak. I mean, you always are if you're in first place, but it's not an obscene hot streak. I think they've got staying power for the rest of the season.
Okay. Would you make a futures bet on anybody right now?
I did put a little bit on Arsenal at plus 250 to win the title. Again, I just think, look, Man City's underlying numbers are better than Arsenal's right now by a little bit. Arsenal has a 5-point lead. Like, that's significant. And you say, oh, well, Man City beats Arsenal and it's only two, but so much has to go right to just keep pace. You know, one bounce in soccer more than almost any other sport can decide a game, one foul, one card, whatever it might be. So, yeah, I put a little on Arsenal at plus 250. I think that should really be around plus 200 or so, about a 1 in 3 chance. So if you can get better than that, than plus 200, I think it's worth a sprinkle assuming you know it's not conflicting with other bets or whatever it might be.
Yeah, we're just halfway, just shy of halfway through the Premier League season, 15, 16 games in of a 38-match season. All right, let's get to the trio of picks. You begin with a both teams to score.
Yeah, so we weren't totally sure what's this going to look like when all these teams come back. And the first set of games around Boxing Day all kind of went according to form. You know, there weren't a lot of big upsets. The top teams, you know, cruised relatively easily. And both these teams, Liverpool and Leicester City, looked about how they've looked over the course of the season. Liverpool was fairly dominant. Defense had some cracks. They beat Aston Villa 3-1. Leicester City lost 3-0 to Newcastle, had a couple decent chances. They just gave up a lot of good chances, which they've been doing all season. So I like both teams to score in this one. This is the old Leicester on the road thing. But a little more to it than that here, just because, again, Liverpool's defense is not the rock-solid defense it has been in recent years. Leicester's defense is a mess, but they've scored in every road game this season. So they find a way to scratch out a goal. They play open enough where they usually can find chances. So, you know, obviously I would lean Liverpool if I'm picking a side here, but I'm going both teams to score. Minus 125 was my price. It may be a decent bit worse. I wouldn't go a whole lot below that right now.
All right. Wouldn't be a Paul Carr segment without a total play. What do you got here?
Yeah, we're looking at Fulham and Southampton. I should add that Liverpool-Leicester City game is today. So I think it's at 11 Pacific, 1 Central, 2 Eastern, if I remember correctly. Yeah, that's today.
We got one Friday, we got one Saturday, we got one Sunday. We should point that
that's
out.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So Saturday, Fulham, Southampton, over 2.5 goals, minus 125. Fulham is in good shape to finally stay up after they've yo-yoed back and forth between the Premier League and the Championship the last 4 or 5 years. In some ways, this is really simple. Fulham's played 16 games this season, and 14 have had 3 or more goals. Defense not great. They like to attack. And Southampton, they're in last place, but the numbers are a little bit better than that. They're probably not quite that bad, but they're still in the middle of the relegation battle. So one way or the other, I think there's going to be goals here. Fulham games, especially at home, have all had goals this season.
All right, and the other one is another BTTS, if you will, both teams to score.
Yeah, landed on this one again. Chelsea's been one of the disappointments of the season. They're in 8th place right now, and that's probably generous. You know, they have a negative expected goal difference, only +2 in actual goal difference. So we thought before the season they'd really struggle to find goals, and that's exactly what has happened. Now they're facing, though, Nottingham Forest, which is one of the worst defensive teams in the league by just about any metric. But Forest plays fairly well at home. They've scored in all but one home game and have the underlying numbers to match that. I don't really trust Chelsea yet from a, you know, pick them on a side standpoint, but you know they'll find a goal against Forest, and Forest, pretty good chance to get one themselves. They, like I said, they attack well at home, even against the big boys so far this season. So yeah, both teams to score minus 110, you can get a pretty decent price on that.
Yeah, Nottingham Forest has scored 11 goals in 16 games this year. They have given up a whopping 33.
That's not good, Gil.
That is not good, I am told.
Yeah.
On that side of things. See if they can put the biscuit in the basket, at least on their end, to cash that bet. We only have 30 seconds left, Paul. You know where I'm going with this. Your Dolphins, with Teddy Bridgewater, it appears, to play here against the Patriots on Sunday. They're 3-point dogs, but the Dolphins do control their own destiny. What's your thought on this game real quick, and what are your feelings about this team making the postseason?
I mean, I think, as like a lot of people, I still assume Belichick's going to do something to just frustrate the heck out of Bridgewater, so I don't have a ton of faith. But, you know, Bridgewater looked okay at times, and I think the Patriots are the right team for him to play because the Patriots aren't going to hang 40 points or 30 points or maybe even 20 points. So, yeah, this is like a coin flip game. You win this, you have to beat the Jets. You can't ask for much more as a Dolphins fan. So I don't know if I'm optimistic, but I don't feel like everything's doomed with Tua out for this game and maybe the next one.
I think that's probably a fair assessment. By the way, we're showing 2.5 on the screen, and it is 2.5 painted now across the board, down from 3. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Gil. Same to you.
Happy New Year. Paul Carr, everybody, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on Twitter, from True Media Networks, and, of course, the Expected Value Podcast. Chrissy Andrews checks in for a couple minutes. We'll look at some men's tennis next as well.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. We get tweets at Beating the Book. J.D. Emmons. J.D. was kind enough to visit us here at the South Point. He's from northern Alabama. He was here a few weeks back. He says, "Why, I love your show. You've taught me to look at games through a completely different lens. I in-game bet Oklahoma over and over and over at +400, +900, or between +400 and +900. I lost them all, but the numbers didn't make sense. I know even losing that I made the right bets based on the number itself." Well, hopefully, JD, the more often you do that, the more the wins will come through, as you know. But I really appreciate that note, and I hope that people understand the context in which he is saying that, because he is on the right track there. Thank you, JD. J.R. Boudreese, I believe it is. He said, "Always enjoy the podcast, Beating the Book Megapod." He said, "But laughed especially hard at your comments with 2 minutes to go in the show regarding Todd." Wyatt, I will not share what those comments were, but let's just say they're for podcast only. People can check it out again, the Beating the Book podcast, if they want to know what that was. This is from, let's see here. This is from, oh, beautiful site where they're listening to the pod here. This is from Sam Wesley. Any United Cup plays? No, but we'll be back for tennis in Adelaide starting next week. Joe Abraham, I've always noticed that one of the nice things anytime I listen to VSiN or the podcast is the ultra clear sound. The sports gambling channel that is now on Sirius is unlistenable, and not just for the sound quality. There you go, sound. Shout out for our sound, Wyatt. Shout out to Kevin, Kevin, everybody who makes the sound happen.
Kevin, Sean
McCollum,
everybody.
Steven Vegas, with tennis coming back up, can we get VSiN Vinny back for the final 30 minutes of ANG? I miss the verbal jabbing around posting those markets. Also, the dulcet tones help me sleep. Get that man a late night sleep podcast. Talking about VSiN Vinny. Our friend Vinny Maiolio, who, by the way, is how Chrissy Andrews pronounces Vinny's last name. Speaking of my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, he joins us now from his beautiful estate somewhere here in Las Vegas, Nevada. How you doing, Chrissy?
Good, until you started making fun of the way I pronounce words.
Maiolio. Maiolio. That's, it was a running
Listen,
joke.
I've only known him 43 years.
Yes.
How do you expect me to get this down?
What's going? So for the locals here, what's going on at the South Point? You wanted to check in with something here.
Well, I wanted to tell everybody we got the jackpot parlay card, and right now it's a huge overlay. We're going to give away 25,000. You know, it doesn't matter how many enter. And right now the entries are far below what it takes to get the jackpot up to 25,000. So you got a huge overlay. And like I was tweeting out, how many times do you see that from a casino? I mean, we're going to give the money away. You can enter as many times as you want. It's a $5 card. It does not have to be perfect. It just has to be the best among however many entries there are. But we're closing it at 9 o'clock because the first game on the card is the Maryland-NC State game. So you got to get them in now. But, you know, it's a hell of a deal. And we used to get a little bit of a late flurry, but I don't think we're going to get anywhere near 25,000 in action. So it's a hell of a deal, hell of an overlay. And if you're looking for closing line value, I'd say that's a pretty good closing line value on this card.
Okay, so those who are here in town, they got just over an hour to come down and participate in that here at the lovely South Point Hotel Casino. By the way,
well, let me say it too.
Yeah. Yes.
We take them at the Rampart, mm-hmm. and if you're near Mesquite, we take them at the Virgin River and the Casablanca and Mesquite. So four locations you got to get them in. You got to get them in quick.
Four locations, got to get them in quick. Thank you, Chrissy. We'll talk to you on Monday, yes, for what is always the squirreliest of all weeks, Week 18 guessing lines. We look forward to that.
that's going to be kind of funny. But, what the hell, we're going to do it anyway on Monday.
Yeah.
So why not give it a shot?
Any excuse to talk football, let's just do it. Doesn't have to be a guessing line.
You got it, pal.
My man.
Chris, you got it, my friend.
Chris Andrews, everybody. By the way, Andrews Sports on Twitter. Author of Then One Day, Then One Year, and also Adelphosmu, which translates to My Brother, his latest book, which is a novel, which you can get at Amazon, but you'd also find a link at Andrews Sports for Chrissy's latest book, Adelphosmou, is how you pronounce that, apparently in Greek. My brother is all you have to punch into the Google machine with the name Chris Andrews. By the way, more tweets. We get more tweets reacting to some of the things that we said this morning. This is from Jason H11 talking about my speeding ticket this morning. He says, you should have asked the officer if he knew, if he had any idea when the road construction might be finished. That should have been the question instead of me telling about the trucks. Neil Galbraith, no chance Dallas Super Bowl. You're right. With coaching blunders like last night before halftime, just giving the opposition free points, make them use their timeouts. I don't get it. I really do think, in addition to just learning that the Dobbs is the best way for the Titans to play next week's game, I agree. Like, again, I'll say it again. The Cowboys are exactly who we think they are. There was a time this season when we could say, oh, the Cowboys are really good, but they're always going to have the best unit on the field in their defense, specifically their front seven. And maybe that's the case. But even that defense has had some chinks in the armor here of late. So I don't know. Don't know about them long term. And in terms of, I don't view them as a real contender for the title. Rich PSM, I hate the Bucks too, but think you are overvaluing the Panthers' passing game. Well, I never said anything about the Panthers' passing game. And the Bucs are excellent versus the run. Yes, the Bucs are good versus the run. This is always, you know, this is the thing. Oh, the Carolina running game doesn't matches up poorly with the Tampa Bay defense. We sure about that? I'm not. He said, revenge too. I think this line would be 7 if the Bucs didn't disappoint all year. It's buy low. Rich, you might be 100% right. And as I said in the front, Tampa Bay may win this game. They may win the NFC South, and I will have been wrong. But you know what? It'll be the first time I have been wrong about the Buccaneers in about 7 or 8 weeks. So I'll take the L happily and tip the cap, but I'm going to keep fading what I think is a horrific football team. And then Elvis Toast Patterson, Gilly, you're a menace to society. The officer calling you a menace had me automatically YouTubing Tupac's hit, Menace to Society. The song is timeless. Thank you, Elvis. I appreciate that. We talked a little U.S., not U.S., but we talked a little Grand Slam women's tennis yesterday on the show. So for equal time, we go to the men's Grand Slam props. And yesterday, one of the things that I emphasized was I really liked Iga at 5-1 over 2.5 slams, a little more than I like Anja Borat plus money to win a slam, a little more than I liked Aryna Sabalenka to win a slam. On the men's side, here it is. It's more of a Carlos Alcaraz, Daniil Medvedev, Rafael Nadal thing. Now, here's the deal. Let's just start at the bottom. Nadal is always, and I mean still, going to be the favorite at the French Open. However, now in Alcaraz, he has someone that could vie against him and beat him. And so now the under a half becomes the favorite for Nadal. And there's also issues with Nadal in terms of health. He has obviously gotten to the age now, and his contemporary, Roger Federer, has moved on now. Nadal, we don't even know what his injury status is going to be from tournament to tournament at this point. So under a half, that is why it is now minus 190. There is no other year on earth that he has been playing tennis where he would have been a favorite to not even win a single slam. But those are properly priced. If you still believe that he will show up at the French and dominate, then the plus 140 at over a half is the way to go. I would never play the over 1.5, but those are generally properly priced. I do think this is the year where Alcaraz continues with his trajectory as one of the great players on the men's side. I do think the over half is properly priced at minus 200. However, I'm not sure there's a bet here. Under a half and over 1.5, meaning he'd win. In other words, the over 1.5 at 4-1 would mean that he'd win at least half of the slams. Let's not go that far. He's great, but I definitely think winning one is the favorite. Unlike the women's side, it's tough to sort of find a bet here because there is so much competition. Nadal still hanging around. Medvedev, who for much of the most recent stretch of men's tennis has been the number one player in the world. Novak is where it gets interesting. Over 1.5 slams. Because Novak is playing in Australia. Remember, that wasn't the case here last year, the year before, obviously the year before. Over 1.5 at minus 120. Would you bet minus 120 for Novak Djokovic to win two slams? I think you might. Is it a great price mathematically? No, it isn't. But could it cash? I think it might. So I think that's interesting. Do you think the Mercurial Nick Kyrgios can win a slam? If you do, It's plus 330. I'm not touching it. I think he had his moment last year. I'm not sure there's another moment. And do I trust Stefanos Tsitsipas to win over a half a slam at plus 275? I do not still. As great as Tsitsipas is, and he is great, and one day he will, but would I like to have that wager in pocket and then pray that he somehow can overcome other talent in the semis and finals of these great tournaments? I do not. A lot more value on the women's side. I think the only bet there is Novak over 1.5 at minus 120. Coming back, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.